Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Wednesday. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties, by the way. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department that backs it all up every step of the way. Whether it's routine, difficult, they'll take care of it. That way, when it's time to make that trade-in for your next SMC vehicle, you'll be trading in a gem. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. On today's show, number one, let's thank the great people at Purdy Insurance, because the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is going on at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. This tournament benefits the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA and all the great work that they do there. And at the same time, it will also not just benefit them, but it also does shows everybody about the Purdy's and what it means to give back to the community. And we want to thank the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, a great host as always, great layout, and always look forward to playing there. It's all at to benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. They, again, the great work they do, and I can't thank the Purdy family enough for including us, and I can't thank the Purdy family enough for giving back to such a great cause. Today's show, Penn State football. We're going to hear from special teams coordinator Stacy Collins. We'll hear from defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich, head football coach James Franklin, and John Sauber from the Sunday Daily Times. It'll be all Penn State football for the next couple of hours, and you'll hear from the people directly involved as to what they think about this football team. As at this point, we're just about a week in now. Today, by the way, when we talk about being a week in, it turns out today's an off day. So there is no Penn State football practice today. They'll be back at work tomorrow, Friday, and the open practice is scheduled for Saturday. But again, no practice today. This will be their off day. And keep in mind, there are football players going through finals this week because the summer session will wrap up on Friday. There actually is a commencement coming up on Saturday morning. But again, this since they're in school, they have to have the off day. Today's the off day. Then back to work tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then no classes next week, nothing but football next week. One other note on athletics. Josh Nelson's now going to serve as assistant athletic director for high performance for football, because they've announced Tom Morris as the assistant athletic director for high performance for Olympic sports. So this will take a lot off of Josh's plate so he can just zero in on football. And this is going to be an important move as we move forward with this, because with the Big Ten moving to USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, this is going to put more of an emphasis on how to travel right. And that's where Josh Nelson comes into play. He charts everything. He goes about the job with such precision. I mean, they're always keeping checks on everybody in practice. Same thing happens in basketball, but Josh, I see Josh around football all the time. And they track everything in practice. They have these chips that they put in that allows them to do the tracking. He's also very precise about road trips, very precise about hydration on road trips. Now, when you're talking about cross-country flights, Seattle's about 2,900 miles. Might be a little less than that, 2,600 miles. Eugene's about 2,400, although you got to go to Portland and bus down to Eugene. Although Eugene, I guess, has an airport. They can take flights. Then, of course, you're talking about, 2,300 miles, 2,400 miles to Los Angeles. It is, and this is not going for a bowl game. This is going out, playing the game, and then coming right back. Josh will be very precise about the hydration part of it, how much walking around they need to do on the plane, you know, what they need to do once they land. I mean, this is where he's going to be so important. Now, the area where he can help out is how do you get the equipment out there? So that's another issue we can talk about at a later date. But for the performance point, Josh will be very precise about what the players need to do when they have long flights like that that they will encounter in the next few years. Stacy Collins, special teams coordinator, coming up next. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, all here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, and a fabulous service department that backs it all up. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, we're going to take you down the pathway today of what was media day for Penn State football that took place a couple of days ago. And we're going to hear from the coordinators, Stacy Collins on special teams, Mandy Diaz on defense, Mike Yurcich on offense, then head football coach James Franklin, so you can get a read on where Penn State is. Special teams will be interesting this year because you have to replace everything, all the parts. You have to replace the snapper, the holders, place kickers, kickoff guy, and your punter. Stacy Collins, big work to do, a lot of optimism, and looking forward to it as he talked with the media.
Please raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you.
Hi, Stacy, how are you?
I'm doing great. How's everybody doing today?
Doing well. So, obviously, with Oregon and Washington eventually making the move to the Big Ten, you have ties to the West Coast. What do you think you can bring to the table in terms of recruiting, and what should the Big Ten know about, you know, recruiting in the West Coast and potentially, you know, competing in those areas with those future Big Ten schools?
Yeah, certainly got a lot of history there, and there's a lot going on in college football. Right now, I'm really focused on what we're doing from a special team standpoint. We had a great walkthrough this morning. Got another special teams meeting and work to do this afternoon. So that's where our primary focus is all the outside stuff's working, and we're excited about where we're at, the work our players are doing as we continue to grow and develop these young men.
Follow up on that, too. You know, what has impressed you so far, I guess, just from this first week of camp?
I think a lot of the depth and competition that you're seeing. And we've got, you know, you talk about the specialists. We've got a lot of competition in that specialist room and continue to grow and develop those guys. They came in ready to go, ready to compete from the start, and that's been exciting to watch. I love watching the guys that we have from a special team standpoint continue to grow and develop from the fundamentals and the scheme and the young guys we've added in that mix. And so that's been the part over three practices, and as we head in our fourth today, that we continue to watch. They got great energy. They got great effort, and we'll continue to master those fundamentals as we develop the schemes throughout this camp.
Rich, and then Dan.
Stacy, over here to your right. Who are the candidates in the return game, and is Nick Singleton still among those in the kickoff return game?
Yeah, from a kickoff return standpoint, absolutely. Nick's still in the mix. Nick did a tremendous job for us last year. Catron Allen, both those guys got a lot of reps for us. With that, guys that, you know, seen a lot of action last year too, we're fortunate to get a lot of guys. Amari Evans is a guy that's got really good speed. Adding Trey Potts is a guy with a history of playing special teams. And then we've got a crew of young guys that will continue to work and develop, continue to put those guys in situations. I think that's, especially when you get some young, talented players that, you know, where different kicks are at, the timing and the spacing. But there's been some young guys that, you know, King Max got very good, you know, really good ability, and Zion Tracy, and there's Elliott Washington has got elite speed. But there's some other young guys in that mix. We'll continue to work through it through 3 days, but it's been very, very solid.
Daniel?
Stacey, when you look at the kicking competition with Sander, Falcons, and Barker, what do you need to see from one of them to seize the job? What are the little things you're looking for from them?
Yeah, great question. First of all, we're looking for consistency in overall, and I would say that in all our special teams. But right now our focus has been just similar to what I talked about, you know, from a situational standpoint, continue to put those guys in different situations. I would say this with both Sander and Falcons right now, they're striking the ball extremely well. They've done a great job in the offseason preparing them for themselves for this competition throughout camp. And I really like where Ryan Barker is as a, you know, as a freshman coming in.
We'll go to Tyler over here.
Yeah, right back here. Looking at your punting situation, we know Alex got some involvement last year, but you went out and pursued a transfer. I'm curious how Riley's done in preseason camp thus far, and if there's anyone else we need to make sure that we're aware of in that mix-up punter.
Well, certainly Alex, you know, he got a chance to get in some game reps. Alex McKetta got some game reps last year. He's continued to, you know, have had a good offseason and compete for us. Like what Riley did throughout the spring, he prepared himself well during the offseason. Three practices in, you know, you're still working through a lot. Gabe has done a nice job, so we've seen him. He's got a big leg, and Mitch Groh's here too. So there's a lot of competition, but we're just continuing to focus on the daily part of it. You know, me and Coach Frank will sit down once we get a chance to get through more parts of camp, but I like the growth and development that all four of those guys are doing. I like the competition that we have, and especially with punting, there's so many different situational punts that you got to work into. We'll grow and develop in that and look at it, but I like the work ethic they're putting in, and I like that they're competing every day.
Any more questions for Stacey? We'll go up here to Daniel.
Stacey, when you look at the bullets on the outside in the punting game, there are guys who had a pretty big impact, you know, these past couple of years. We know that Malik is back, but who else is standing out in that group?
Yeah, and then, you know, guys should bring up a returner too, is Daquan Hardy. He's done a great job as both a punt returner and a kick returner. Day-Day's got a chance. Daquan's had a chance to do that out there for us. Trey's done that. We've got a deep group of guys with great speed. Our strength and conditioning staff has done an unbelievable job with our speed. So there is a lot of bullet players that we're working at now. Similar to what I was talking about with the punting situation, there's going to be a lot of situational things that we're going to put these guys in throughout camp, and I think it's going to be a deep group. It's a group that's getting a lot of reps, a lot of fundamental and technique reps right now, and we'll continue to see that as we go through camp.
Mark.
Stacey, you guys started that tradition of the zero jersey with Jonathan. Is that something that's going to continue, and if so, at what point will you make that decision?
Yeah, we're looking at every rep on tape, every rep on camp. You know, you talk about bullets. Another guy I should have brought up is Malik McClain. You look at what Dom DeLuca did last year on special teams. But it's a new number zero that we're going to get a chance to see. We're excited for it. I'm excited to watch our kids compete every day. We have a SWAT player of the day every day that, you know, emulates what we're looking for on that practice field. So as we get towards the end of camp, we'll get a chance to, you know, evaluate that and see who it is. But I like the competition we have. I like what our guys are doing from a fundamental standpoint.
Like the quarterback battle where you're going to wait until the very end.
We'll wait till I'll sit down with Coach and the staff, and we're ready to do that. We'll make that decision, yeah.
Tyler, back here.
Stacey, James keeps indicating that this might be the deepest team that he's had assembled here. That usually is a good thing for a special teams coordinator, putting together coverage units and all that. How can you benefit from the three deep on a defense and kind of filtering out those coverage spots? And you mentioned some freshmen in the return game. Can you give us some names of freshmen who are putting themselves in that coverage conversation, maybe finding a pathway to early playing time that way?
Yeah, so depth is, you know, anytime you have depth as a special teams coordinator, when you sit in my shoes, that gives you the chance to have more and more work, be able to develop guys, because it's a long season, right? That season, you never know. Maybe KJ Winston's a great example, where maybe early on last year, you didn't see a lot of him special teams wise. By the second half of the season, you know, he's primarily a three-team starter for us. So that's the growth and development that we're looking for. Some young guys, I mean, you know, I think you got to look at Tony Rojas, you know, linebacker that's got great, you know, speed, athleticism with it. There's a lot of guys in that mix right now. It's still pretty early in the camp, so we'll continue to look. But I do like what we're seeing. I like the athleticism that we have. You know, I'll give another shout out to our strength and conditioning staff, because you're seeing a lot of competition and deep lists as we go through our special teams drills.
Any more questions for Stacey? Tyler.
You brought him up, and everyone seems to. Tony Rojas, I'm going to tap into your role as a linebackers coach with this team as well. What has he done in fall camp that makes him a little bit different than what he was in spring camp when we heard so much about him?
Well, that young linebacker crew is a talented crew. The guys that came in, you had Keon Wiley a year ago who's been here for a year. You have Tony and you have Tamir that have all were able to get here in the spring. And Kavion Keys has done a nice job popping in also. So I think the biggest part is when you've had a spring under your belt, you understand the drills, you understand the concepts of what we're looking for. That always helps put somebody ahead.
Last question, Daniel, right here.
Chris Stoll was here for a long time and leaves a pretty big vacancy at the long snapper spot. What stands out to you about Tyler Dezanski and that group overall?
Yeah, Tyler's work ethic is the first thing that stands out, what type of player he is every day and the time he puts in. Obviously, Chris Stoll was a great player. But the ability to get a lot of these specialists time on the field last year, Tyler's one of those guys we're able to get into a game setting. But Tyler's extremely consistent from a snapping standpoint. He's consistent as a person both on and off the field. And he's done a really good job here early in camp, and we're excited to see that continue as we finish camp.
All right, thank you very much, Stacy. We'll have Manny here next.
And we'll hear from Manny in the next half hour, Manny Diaz. That is Stacy Collins, special teams. Look, you have to replace, in this case, the place kicker, the left-footer Sander Sahadic, Alex Falcons, the transfer from Columbia, and Barker, who's also left-footed, by the way. You have to replace the holders. Long snapper, Tyler Dezanski, Will Patton would be the primary two, but Tyler, I think everybody feels going in that unless something changes dramatically, Ty's got the lead there. And then the punter, Alex Paquette, who did some punting last year for Penn State, Gabe Wosu, who did some punting last year, and Riley Thompson, the transfer from Florida Atlantic. And I will say this early on, the kicking game, early on in training camp, you can see the improvement just in 4 months. Now, they're going to have to be put through a bunch of situations during the course of this training camp. But it's off. The kicking part is off to a good start, and a lot of us are looking at that closely. All right, next half hour, Manny Diaz. We'll hear from the defensive coordinator of the Nittany Lions as we continue with our Media Day review on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, fabulous service department that backs it all up. Every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament continuing today at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Stacy Collins in the previous half hour in Penn State special teams. Now let's get a read on the defense with the defensive coordinator of the Nittany Lions in his second season on the staff, Manny Diaz.
Hi, Manny. Can you describe what you're looking for from Kalen King this year? What can he do to improve on his performance last season?
Well, Rich, with Kalen, it's similar with all of our players. I mean, really what we're looking for is that you don't get to carry over what you did a year ago into this season. And the first thing when you're talking about anything with defensive back play, you're talking about a sense of urgency and playing with that chip on your shoulder, which I really thought he did a great job of a year ago when he was really the unknown because everybody was talking about Joey. Everyone knows who number four is right now, but you cannot lose that edge that you had about you that really made you great the year before. So I think those are the big things. I think if he brings that every day here in the month of August, then we've got all, you know, he should have all the confidence in what he's demonstrated in games, and we have all the confidence in him. But as we tell Kalen and the entire defense, that resets and that restarts every offseason.
Up front, John.
Hey, Manny. How does having Kalen in the back end and Chop in the front four kind of change how you can shape your defense and what you can do as a play caller?
Well, John, if we just had Kalen and Chop, it would be we would be limited, you know, because that would be not to speak of the abilities of Johnny Dixon, the ability of our safeties and linebackers to be able to play man coverage. And again, in my experience, if you have one gifted pass rusher, there's nothing more fatiguing in the game of football than to rush the passer down after down after down. I think what makes Chop great is Adisa Isaac. I think what makes Adisa great is Denai. I think what makes those guys great is Amin, you know what I mean? And I think the fact that, you know, Zariah Fisher, I think the fact that the best defenses I've been a part of in terms of getting after the quarterback, including us a year ago, is because we had multiple waves of guys that could be relentless and not have to pace themselves to try to last the 60 minutes. They could go as hard as they could go, and they knew the guy coming in behind him. And that's hard on offensive linemen. And so so we're blessed to have lots of guys who can create havoc and lots of guys who can cover.
Daniel.
Manny, over here. You know, Chop's been able to have a full offseason in the strength and conditioning program here and a full offseason as a defensive end. What strides have you seen from him physically this offseason and then within the structure of the defense?
Well, you know, we have a great strength and conditioning program. You know, when we come back and see the team in August, I mean, what Chuck and his guys have done with those guys is phenomenal. So our guys are in great shape. They're super strong. I think with Chop, and you even saw it as the year went on last season, was just the familiarity in the scheme. Like you mentioned, he was a DN full-time, had a little bit less to think about, but at the same time, you have to focus in on the details of, and the nuances of the position. You can definitely see that he's much, much more comfortable with that. And as any player develops, as you get more and more comfortable, you can play faster. And thinking about a guy like Chop playing faster is a scary sight. And that, to me, is what we have to have starting from the 1st of September this year. We don't want to get into that. We don't want to be playing our – we want to play our best late in the season, but we've got to be playing at a championship level to beat West Virginia.
Up front, Todd, right here.
Hi, Coach. Right here,
Todd.
Hey, look, it's a big deal, obviously, for players to have the same coordinator the next year, whether they're learning the language. Also, for coordinators to work with the same coordinators, I would imagine. So you working with Coach Yurcich, what are you able to do? How is that relationship kind of blossomed and working together, especially when he has young quarterbacks? Does he ask you to do something defensively to give them a look, or how's that relationship kind of gotten better and able to work together to help the players grow?
Well, I think, look, at the end of the day, we both have the same goal in terms of the category we want to lead the nation in. We want to lead the nation in wins, right? That's you know, I was early in my career, I was as fortunate enough to be a part of a staff at NC State. We were number one in the nation in total defense. And we finished 5-6 that year. There's no ring for that. We didn't have a parade. Nobody noticed. No one remembers that. That's why I keep telling that story. So, but I sure remember winning. You know, when you win nice things, you win Rose Bowls. You know, there's a lot of ways to remember that type of stuff. So, whether it's the way we practice, whether it's the way we attack a game, you hear Coach Franklin talk about it all the time, playing great complementary football. Those aren't just words. I mean, there's something that goes into that. And that's what I think right now in August, we're learning who we are. You know, we're sort of in our independent silos trying to get our guys as good as they can be. And I think what all good coaches and all good staffs do is when you come out of training camp, you get a real assessment of where are we? Where are we strong? Where are we still maybe growing and developing as a football team? And how do we play to our strengths and how do we maximize or how do we minimize our weaknesses? Because every team in the country, no matter what the publications say, everyone has weaknesses. And you're trying to minimize those as much as possible while at the same time maximize what you do well.
We'll go to Ben right here.
Hey, Manny, how's it going?
Good, Ben. How are you?
Good. You're obviously not short on good players on the defensive side of the ball, but Abdul kind of rises to maybe have the potential to be that kind of game breaker kind of guy on that side. When you have someone that's that good or can be that good, how does that change the dynamic of a defense when you're putting it together, when you're thinking about what you can do, and maybe just the psyche of knowing, obviously, you have a lot of good guys out there, but somebody like him that can do the things that he can do?
Well, certainly if you have a player like Abdul who has a certain skill set, there are some things that he does very well that you want to put him in those positions to make plays as often as possible. But Abdul and I had a conversation just walking on the field yesterday, you know, and I've mentioned this before, you know, with Abdul's talent, if Abdul just does simple things in a simple manner, it will look extraordinary to the outside eye, because that's just what very talented people do. If they just play simple, then, you know, I always show the guys, you know, the shot that Michael Jordan made to beat the Utah Jazz, it wasn't half quarter, it was an 18-foot shot. I mean, everybody in this room is probably, with enough shots, would at least make one of them, right? You know, and so it's not about being the putting the cape on and doing, you know, insane things. You know, when you're extremely talented and you play simple, you make simple things look extraordinary. And that, to me, has been what we're trying to get Abdul to understand as he goes into year two. Because expectations, you know, and people all of a sudden realize, oh, my gosh, I've got to hit a grand slam with nobody on base. And that's not necessarily the case.
Way in the back, T. Frank.
Hey, Manny, straight back.
Hey. Good. How's it going there in the last row?
Pretty good. Pretty good. In 2019, Greg Rousseau had, I believe, 16 sacks on your defense, a lot of them rushing from the interior. Do you see any similarities in talent or fit between him and Denai?
You know, everyone's a little bit unique in their own certain way. You know, Greg was a redshirt freshman that year. So, yeah, when we went to three down, we were able to put him inside a little bit because of the other ends that we have. You just, those are the questions that you can never answer at this stage of training camp, because you have to assess if who you put on the field on third down, and if you kind of go all in, how much do you weaken yourself if you don't get off the field on third down? Now, obviously, you want to do your best to get off the field on third down. It's a pass-fail type grade. And at the same time, what do the guys do well? What's their skill set? So we're going to always try to put our guys in the best position to make plays. Third down is, of course, a down that everybody in the country takes very seriously, and we do here. And our guys have a lot of confidence in what we do in our third down package. And I think those are all the things that we're trying to figure out. Right now, we want someone to be great at one thing. You know, deny, hey, be great at this. Abdul will be great at this. And then once they can do that, then again, they expand their ability to help us out outward.
Andrew?
Coach, over here near the pillar. You joined this team right before the Outback Bowl 2 years ago. In that time, how has your perception of the program and personnel changed?
Well, my first impression of the program is held to be true now. I mean, I was very impressed with the way that our kids worked. I was very impressed in the way that they communicated. I was very impressed in the pride that they play with here and what Penn State means to them. From a personnel standpoint, I do think, and again, I can only speak on what I've seen with my own eyes and the time that I've been here, but it does feel like our recruiting on the defense side of the ball is trending in the right direction. I like the guys who we have added to our roster, either the ones that signed in the class that arrived when I arrived, the class that just got here, and I like the ones that we've got committed to us right now. I really think that from a standpoint of what it takes to play championship defense and at all three levels, I think we're doing a heck of a job. And that's all you do is you just stack recruiting classes on top of each other, and pretty soon you've got a team that's ready to challenge for shiny objects.
Time for one more question. Tyler,
over here. Back here. Thank you. Back in December, I think it was, you told us that you felt like you signed three elite linebackers in that 2023 class. Now you've had a chance to see two of them for spring ball, one of them for a few practices. Can you give an updated evaluation on Tamir and Tony and Kavion and really what their positional outlook is for the immediate future?
You know, we've only had one day in pads, right, since spring. Obviously, everybody saw that, you know, Tony and Tamir did well in the spring game, which I thought gave them a lot of confidence. You know, Tamir certainly is an inside linebacker, a Mike linebacker in our defense. I think Tony can factor in as a Sam or a Will. I think Kavion the same way as a Sam or Will. Now, again, our offense, as you mentioned, we do a lot of stuff on offense. We present a lot of pictures, a lot of moving parts, motions, formations, this, that, and the other. So Kavion right now is kind of walking down the middle of Interstate 99 with cars flying by in each direction, but all the freshmen are. That's just normal on both sides of the ball. But they have shown already, even with Kavion, has shown some athletic things to let us know why we are so high on him and that we think that he's got a really good future here at Penn State.
All right. Thank you very much, Manny.
That is Manny Diaz. All right. So we've got the special teams coordinator. We have the defensive coordinator. Now we're going to shift gears and go to the offensive coordinator, and that is Mike Yurcich. And Mike, of course, well, he's also the quarterback coach, which means along the way he's got to go out and help James Franklin make that decision between Drew Aller and Bo Prabula. But there's a lot of moving parts with the offense, including what does he think about the wide receivers. These will be all things that he'll discuss during his press conference. Then James Franklin will join us in the next half hour. And don't forget, we're at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament today, Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Great day out there to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. This is a great day for people in the community to give back. And that is what this day is all about, the ability to give back. Mike Yurcich heading into his third year as the offensive coordinator of the Nittany Lion football team, including being the third year as the quarterback coach, his second year coaching Drew Aller and Bo Prabula, his first coaching Jackson Smolik, who was a part of the mix during the course of the spring practices. And they've already had a few practices in, and Mike's had a chance at least to get a good look at what everybody is doing out there, at least to this point. And we will get the offensive coordinator for the Nittany Lions in there to talk about his football team.
All right, we'll get started with Audrey over here on the right.
We're in the back. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. But start with your quarterback so far. What's impressed you about that group, and do you have a timeline in mind when you think a starter will maybe emerge?
What's impressed me about the group is that they are businesslike, but yet they don't get caught up in too much of the consternation. You know, we have fun in that room. It's a joy being around those guys. I mean, I got the best job in the country. They're unbelievable people with unbelievable families from really good high school programs. They've got a great foundation. They were raised the right way. And, you know, they all want to compete. And they all are really good leaders in their own way. And that's growing with the youth. But they all understand the team concept. And that's what's most impressive is they're fierce competitors, but they're great teammates. You know, we will talk about that as we get into more live scrimmages and have more further to evaluate.
Over here on the left, front row, Dave.
Mike, over here.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how much you can or want to speak to this, but interior offensive linemen tend to move around a little bit. What qualities do you ideally see in centers? They're such multitasking kind of guys. Is there any overarching kind of qualities you see in ideal centers?
Two qualities, well, really three. Intelligence is huge at that position for the amount of IDs and the amount of communication that has to happen. Intelligence, footwork, and these are not in order. Intelligence, footwork, to be able to change, to be able to snap the ball. It's hard enough to block a 320-pounder, but to snap the ball and then block a 320-pounder is another different deal in itself. So you got to have the strength and the footwork to go along with that, right? And then the mindset, the toughness, both mental and physically tough. I think those are the most critical things, in my opinion, of center play.
Go to Rich up here.
Mike, right here to your right.
Hey, Rich.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Where do you see Nick and Katron taking the next step? Where can they improve, not just as a runner, but in other facets as well?
I think it's every aspect, really. Understanding the offense, being multiple within our system, understanding the big picture of things, maybe them lining up in different spots maybe, and just being able to have some flexibility from a personnel standpoint, being able to play maybe faster or maybe, you know, it's pass protections, with them, those guys, and they did a really good job for freshmen last year to do what they did. I mean, you got to give Coach Sider a ton of credit for his ability to mentor those guys and get those guys going. But it's just not one thing, you know. It's the overall development. They got stronger. They got faster. So from a physical standpoint, that's there. And then the mental standpoint, just understanding the game. It's just time on task. It's reps and it's everything. So I don't think it's just one aspect of their game. We want to develop the whole player and make them as dynamic as they possibly can be.
Back middle, Allie.
Hey, in the back. Coach Franklin talks a lot about position groups. He's liking their progress, who he wants to see step up. He's mentioned the wide receivers basically all spring into camp. There's been a lot of moving parts in that room, but particularly a new position coach with Coach Higgins. How are you trying to support him as his position group is being highlighted? Make sure that he's developing in the system that you want, and how do you evaluate how he's responded and the room has responded to those challenges from Coach Franklin?
Yeah. I'm not a big micromanager of position coaches. They are, you know, they kind of define their own abilities in the meeting rooms, and you know, Coach Higgins, the relationships that he has with his players is over the top. His presence in the room and the messages he sends and how he sets the mindset in that room is remarkable, and I think that's made a big difference. So I'm excited about him. I'm excited about that entire room. You know, competition, and just keep those guys. We're going to need them all, right? We're going to need all those guys, and they all have to continue to press on. And when we ask them to block, they got to be physical as heck. And when we ask them to run routes and it's man coverage, they got to separate and make plays and create, you know, big play opportunities in space. You know, that's the name of the game. So production will be rewarded, and we're going to continue to evaluate and keep the competition on. And it's a long season, and we're going to need each and every one of those guys. That's for sure. Thank you.
Up front, Daniel.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Doing well. Staying in the wide receiver room, you added Dante Cephas this summer. Mm-hmm. What has been the early impression of him, and what – based on what you saw at Kent State and have seen so far, what do you think he can bring to the room?
Early impressions are that he's going to continue to learn and grow in this offense because it's new, right? So any player, it doesn't matter. They have to learn the system, whether it's signals, the verbiage, the alignments. But what we do know is that he won't blink. You know, early on, it's only been three practices, so I don't want to crown him, but he looks like and appears to be a guy that's going to be a little bit more ready, a lot more ready than maybe a rookie would be, right? Because he's seasoned. He's had big-time game experience. And so you can see that early on that he understands the competitive nature of this level and this game. And so it's early to tell, but, you know, it's heading in the right direction.
Front and center, Todd.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. The rule change. You got an experienced offensive line. You got great running game coming back and some young quarterbacks. How much is this game going to change as it's shortened with first downs and the clock keeps moving after the first downs? And does this happen to be a year that might work in your guys' advantage? But just your overall thoughts on the shortening the game and less plays.
It's interesting. I think the stat of points per play is probably the most important statistic in football. Right, when your efficiency, not just total yardage, right? It's not about total plays. It's not about passing yards. It's about points per play, you know. And so for us, regardless of the rule change, and maybe now it's even magnified. Surely it is. It's all about being efficient on every snap, and making sure that we're on schedule, that we're being explosive, and that we're ahead of it. And so. You know, I don't know. I've heard a stat that it's going to be somewhere around 7 offensive plays per game that you're losing. And so if you average 6.2 yards, you could do the math. So, you know, it is what it is, but it's the same for both teams. So it goes back to making sure that we're as efficient as we can be on every single football play.
Mike Yurcich, the offensive coordinator. Next half hour, head football coach James Franklin. on News Radio 1070 WKOK.